Welcome to the Avenue Mama podcast, where we explore the avenues of motherhood, mindset, and mompreneurship. I know you're a busy mama, so during each show, I've built in time for you to apply the tip or lesson to your life while you listen. I'm your host, Annie Vovant, mother of two, and this podcast was created because mom guilt is real, and so are our dreams. So let's get rid of mom guilt once and for all. Girl, let's get started. Hey mama, welcome back. Today I want to share an episode of the Strong Sunflowers podcast where I was interviewed by Giselle Herrera and Zana Carbajal. Zana was in the mastermind that I ran with my soul sister, Shannon Hale. We cover a lot of ground in my personal life that has never been shared on this podcast before. What I love about the Strong Sunflowers is they're on a mission to share stories, not of everybody who's already like made it. And while I love an inspiring story like The Next Person, I love it when I hear while people are still in the process of learning and growing. And that's what that podcast is all about. So you should check them out. They have a series on fertilizing that soil of your life, planting those seeds in your life, and finding your root and pushing your stem to build that bloom. So I just want to say that we started off talking about my family, my origin story, how we escaped Vietnam. And I'm just in this space of really sharing my culture. I hadn't done that before. To be honest, it's kind of refreshing because there should be no offense to sharing our story, right? Now, mama, I don't know if you know about this new hashtag, #VeryAsian, that has come up because of an incident that happened last week with Michelle Lee. She's an Asian American news anchor, and she got a caller call in to say, in summary, that she should keep her Koreanness to herself just when Michelle was sharing the tradition of eating dumplings as a Korean American. It was just an offering. She was just sharing that on New Year's, they eat dumplings. And this woman just couldn't like let it go and had to call in and to complain about it. So I don't even know how to unpack all this. But at any rate, it turned into a beautiful movement. And so that really struck a chord with us in the Asian community about being, quote, too Asian or, quote, very Asian. And this very Asian hashtag has come up to really be a beautiful thing. It's to celebrate our Asianness and show a lot of pride. And for people not to feel like they have to take offense for that. And so I'm going to be sharing a lot more about that on my own personal journey in sharing how I feel like I want to show up for my kids and the generations to come, how being Asian American is something to be proud of, how my family and the family that I'm raising now, we're just unapologetically very Asian. I'd love to know about your ways that your family celebrates the new year. The Lunar New Year or the Chinese New Year or Tet is what we call it in Vietnamese, is happening February 1st, and you bet I'm going to be sharing as much of my family's traditions and superstitions with you as possible. So without further ado, thank you again, Giselle and Zana, for letting me be a guest on your show. Here is my episode from The Strong Sunflowers.
Hi, I'm Giselle.
And I'm Zana.
And together we are
The Strong Sunflowers.
Welcome back, Strong Sunflowers. We are here for another episode, and it's my favorite type of episode. It's our Building to Bloom series, and I'm excited to have somebody here from my field, which is Miss Annie Vovan. I have been a part of her mastermind that she hosts alongside Shannon Hale in the Thrive and Ignite community for the last two quarters. And it seriously changed my life. I am just thrilled that you all get to see her amazingness today, or hear it, I guess, since this is a podcast. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Annie. Annie, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Zana. Hello, everyone. I am Annie Vovan. I am the youngest of seven. We are immigrants here to the U.S. We fled in 1975 from Vietnam, a family of nine with really just no plan, but a hope and a dream on my parents' end to give us a better life. So we definitely have that refugee story in us. And so I was just raised to just be really invisible, really, and just to not rock the boat, to not raise my voice. I don't know if you know this story, but I remember when I was posting about Black Lives Matter, my mom would call and say, "What are you doing? You shouldn't say anything." Even in my heyday right now, and I'm a 47-year-old grown-ass woman, I am told to just like play small. And so for all of you listening, sometimes you don't have that parental support that we want, and it is okay. So I went to school to be a pharmacist. I was a pharmacist for 14 years. I was a manager. I was climbing that corporate ladder. I had, you know, teams of people. I started a couple different pharmacies, or I was a manager of a few, and I hated it. I absolutely had a job where I woke up and I wanted to poke my eyes out. I had a job where I would look at the clock and get really depressed looking at it. I had a job that I was able to purchase a house at 29 years old. I was very, you know, lucky in that paycheck, but boy, was I miserable. And I always felt that it was so misaligned, right? So for all you thinking like, man, you know, is that me? I want to share a little bit of my story about how I got there to where I am today. But one of the things I would say is that I always had an interest, and I look back at my life now, and there's always been a through line of what I love doing. And so if we can just pay attention to that through line in this episode for like what comes up for you when I'm talking and babbling at the same time about my life, I'd love for people to pay attention to that. And so, yes, I went to pharmacy school, I got my doctorate and all that. And education is really important to my parents as an immigrant family. Dad was a pediatrician, mom was a pharmacist, but I never chose that career for me. It was for them. And so on the side, I worked in nonprofit. I ended up running a camp for children with developmental disabilities. And that season of my life in my early 20s, and we were so poor as a grassroots organization that we needed to fundraise. And so we looked around, we said, who is going to take pictures of our kids? And you got to think, this is before the DSLR, this is before social. We're talking, someone threw me a point and shoot camera. They said, hey, you, take pictures of the kids. And that's how I started my photography career. And from there, I started to just dabble into this like side hustle money. And I graduated pharmacy school and I was doing fine. And I just started to put myself on Craigslist and I started building a photography business. But it wasn't until later when I became a mom that I looked at my little baby that I didn't want to go back to that dreaded life where I said, I got to do something with this. And so I'm just kind of giving you the Cliff Notes versions of starting from photography to going to culinary school to starting an e-commerce shop to coaching. And that's kind of where I landed. But we'll go for that, like, what was that moment in a little bit. But just to give you a side view of just like somebody who, like myself, who just decided that I'm just not going to be this one career person for the rest of my life, and nor should you have to.
Chills everywhere. Oh my gosh. I didn't know your background story about you being from an immigrant family, which is really close, near and dear to G's in my heart. G immigrated from Cuba and my husband's an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So we love a strong sunflower that's come from another country and is just hustling their way to you know, a better future, what other people may call the American dream. So where in this story would you say that you had this audacity to plant a seed around coaching? Because like, that's where I see you now. Like, you're this coach to me. You've got this amazing company called Avenue Mama. So walk us through when that seed kind of came into your mind, like, maybe I could do this.
For sure. So a couple of things happened when I became a mom. Two friends told me to join a mommy and me group that I had to pay for. And I was like, you're kidding, right? I have plenty of friends that have kids, but I listened to them. And what I did was I was living in Santa Monica and I joined up for a mommy and me class. Actually, I joined up for two. And to this day, these women are my, like, another ligament. These are people, right? And even 8 years later, my oldest is eight. Today, there's some texts just 8 years later because we found this connection through the trenches of motherhood. So I always knew that there was something in the mom space that I really loved. And again, going back to Kaiser, when I was in the management space, as you can tell, I'm very outgoing, probably a very unusual pharmacist. You don't find a lot of pharmacists that are going to talk your ear off, but I've always champion people's dreams, even in pharmacy. I go around in the warehouse, I had a staff of 200 people, and I'd be like, hey, Alfonso, what is it that lights you up? And I just always did that in the nonprofit space. I always did that. And so that moment for me actually came from a really dark time when in 2017, we lost seven people that we love in our life. I lost my dad. 6 months later, I lost my father-in-law. And during that, our incredible nanny from El Salvador, she also passed away suddenly. And that just broke us apart. It was just a time where I had no food in my cupboards. I needed someone to help pick up my preschooler. I had two miscarriages after that, Santa. My mom got diagnosed with cancer. I lost my favorite uncle. I lost seven people in that 2017. And so what that moment did for me was when my dad was in hospice, more or less, like just long-term facility, I would drive on that freeway and I said, I don't want to be a photographer. I don't know what I want to do next, but I knew that my nanny died too soon. She was 46. She was a single mama.
and she was just starting to like date again, like thinking of a next travel or the next trip to Vegas. And all she wanted, Xana, was to see her son graduate college. And he did. He actually went to my alma mater, UC Irvine. And I remember the day we picked out her blue dress that she'd wear to his graduation, and she did. She wore that dress to his graduation. And then 8 months later, she passed away. And we buried her in that blue dress at 46 years old. And I will tell you that when my dad died, When my father-in-law died, was it profound? Absolutely. And these men lived full lives. Like, they brought their families to the United States, right? They both had 14 grandkids on each side. I have 28 nieces, if that's not crazy. But it was my nanny, Marina, where I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to let another mama on my watch, like, not fulfill her dreams. And so I started Avenue Mama just as a conversation. You can imagine, like, 2017 on Instagram, I'm a photographer. So it's very curated, right? Like, there's the baby, there's a beautiful family in the park. And I was like, F this, this is really hard. And so I just started an arbitrary account called Avenue Mama. And Avenue came from circling back to my catering days when I met this guy who is now my husband, who I was in culinary school with, not with, but at the time we were engaged. He's like, you know, one day if you ever open a restaurant, you should call it Avenue, Annie Vovan Eatery. And I was like, oh, I like that, right? Like Southeast Asian Eatery. Like, I didn't stuck with me, Xana. But then by that time, everything like went crazy in my life. I just hung on to Avenue just arbitrarily. And I started this account and I started sharing like the ugly side of motherhood, the downside, the isolating side. And it started off as self-care. It was just like, I got to take care of myself. I'm a mom. I'm not going to wait. I'm like thinking about Marina. I'm not going to be the person that is just going to wait for my, till my kids get older. And so it started from workshops to self-compassion to a deep dive for me in self-discovery and personal growth. And that's when I started journaling and manifesting and all those things that I thought was for crazy people. But all of a sudden here I was, I did Whole 30. And I just started to just really like not feel guilty of what I needed to do. Like, I didn't want to be just, you know, surviving motherhood. I wanted to thrive. And so I dedicate that community to Marina. And so it turned from care, self-compassion workshops to, hey, how did you leave pharmacy? I'm like, oh, and then, hey, how did you, you know, like, how did you become a service-based business owner? And it organically just started to turn into a coaching community, which I see your smile, which or people just like you to just like find their truth and make a stake in the ground. And now it's like, I can't unsee a woman's dreams. Like, I just can't. I'm not good at a lot of things. I kid you not. But there's something about uncovering another woman's dream, especially a mom, that it all led to this. And so I've been coaching for about 2.5-3 years, but I feel like the through line, I've always championed people's dreams. I always have. I've always been like, nope, you said you want to go to nursing school, even as like my pharmacy tech who had no business of me just like talking about anything besides like fill those prescriptions. But I just feel like so fulfilled for that, that way to get there. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. So, you know, the next phase in the Strong Sunflowers process is rooting. So, you know, based on what you're talking about now, it seems like the roots kind of started digging in when other people were starting to ask you more questions, like, how did you do this? What did you do? Would you agree with that? Or would you say there was another moment in your journey where you were like, my stake is in the grounds of coaching other women and helping them pursue their dreams?
So I think it was a dance between photography and coaching, right? The photography, if I were to look at the time it took to do like a photo shoot after being in the space, this is my 17th year of shooting family photos, right? I don't advertise for it much, but my highest package is like $950 for an hour. And I have people that book that, right? In an hour, right? Versus a package for a mastermind or one-on-one coaching is, you know, there's a lot more time with that. So, you know, I would struggle between, do I do more photography or do I do more coaching? And so what would happen was I would just start fading out the photography. And then I would just bring in the coaching and I just start putting myself out there. And I started to pay attention who needed coaching, consulting, and so forth. And my first big gig, like a really great, like 5-figure gig, I just remember just owning the fact that I felt like I could help this one company, this new startup, that I could help them go from A to B. And that's when I got really excited about it. And so I was like, wow, with no formal, you know, certification or anything at that time, I'm in a certification process right now that I'm almost finishing up for executive coaching and so forth. But I think that was like the jumping off point where I was like, okay, if I can help this small business, this startup, then I can help other people. And I started putting myself out there, making small micro offers. And then, yeah, I'm obsessed with it now, but I do. This is a holiday season. And I also know that for my family, if it's a way for me to earn more money, I believe in multiple streams of income and I can do this and do both. And I feel really happy about feeling like I'm finally like multi-passionate and it is okay. A lot of people want to put you just in this one box and you're just this one thing. I do think you can make your most like signature offer the most obvious one, but you also have to look at, you know, what your needs of your family is and what income potential you have.
Goals. Again, everything you say, I'm like, dang, yeah, multiple sources of income. Of course, you didn't have to give up photography to do coaching. You're doing both. And then you kind of go between the one yeah. or the other, depending on your season and what you can handle, right? Am I understanding that?
Yeah, for sure.
I love
it. Also, I don't have a spouse that was like, oh, hun, just go and, you know, pursue this and I'm fine. No, not at all. In fact, for many, many years, it was a struggle to feel seen in this space, right? And he would just rack his head around like, why you're about to do so good in photography. I got to like 100 shoots a year. And he's like, and now you're what's happening? And one that crushes my soul because I'm like, you don't understand like what I'm doing here. Cause he's not a coaching client and he doesn't see, right? But he knows that it's something I'm passionate about. And so I always have to redirect him. So for those of the listeners who maybe don't have that spouse that is just like 100% like go and, you know, go and I'll just blindly, you know, endorse everything you do. That is not me. It was a conversation after conversation. It was therapy. It was looking at spreadsheets. It was like, does this make sense? Can I pull back on this? And because he's not a small business owner, there's a lot of things I had to like shut down because I'm like, but you just kind of like taking parenting advice from someone who's not a parent. Like you can take so much, but sometimes you're like, but do you really get it? Do you really know what it's like to promote yourself? Do you really know how hard it is to like have a podcast, you know? And so I think with that, it's a season not jumping. Like I think entrepreneurship is really glamorized. Like, hey, open this business, start social and you're fine. It's not that. It is the day in and the day out, the mindset shifts, the ability to just like talk yourself up because no one else is going to and really believing in what you're offering and really believing in what you're doing is stellar work. And that is really aligned because I think people will call it bullshit, you know? And so I think it's true to really be aligned. And I think when you're misaligned, that is the struggle. But when you're really aligned, that's where like the blooming comes in.
And like I was saying earlier in another episode that we filmed today, I was like, you can't bullshit a bullshitter.
But we've tried, right? I mean, I hold the whole like fake it till you make it. I don't know. I feel like, how about we share the journey and how about we are real with like, hey, this is my first coaching assignment or hey, this is my first newborn session and so forth. I think people will feel just more disarmed when you can be honest with where you're at.
And going to the medical field, that's like super brave of you. You are inspiring me even more. Like I want to be a doctor, but I also know that that's not all that I want to be. I want to be so much more. And finding that balance of I still love medicine and I love podcasting and I love interviewing people like yourself and sharing your stories and just bringing more life. Because I feel like too many people out there are living a mediocre life and they don't have to.
No. You can be a physician and a curator of charcuterie and learn, you know, another language on the side. Like what's stopping you? Like who says? I think, you know, if we think about like the end of life, right? Like there's no one that's going to come out and just be like, congratulations, you had one career and you were miserable. No, people want to celebrate. And when you celebrate and when we all vibe at like the top level of what's possible in our highest self, like things are going to happen. Like in our community, right? Everyone listening in the Sunflower community, like everyone's going to vibe together. And that's what we need. But we need that honesty. We need to say like, hey, it was really hard. And I can have to say, hey, I had to go to therapy with my husband for him to understand like that pharmacist died, that six-figure earner died. and here's what's available right now.
That six-figure earner did not die. She's still alive and thriving,
right.
But hey, the pharmacist.
Oh, she's here. Oh, she's back. She's back.
She's back by popular demand.
But that every 2 weeks. So I think it's a really interesting cadence of entrepreneurship and, or just, you know, going after something different in your life, showing up differently, you know?
Love. I love this conversation. I can't even handle it. There's so many things that you're saying that are just serving me right now in this chapter. I literally had somebody tell me this week, like, fake it till you make it. And that always makes me cringe. I love the honesty that you're providing. And, you know, some people maybe fake it till you make it serves them, but I know me as a human, it does not. It makes me feel even more of an imposter if I can't be honest with the community around me and let them know, you know, I'm stemming right now. I'm struggling and this is why, and this is my reality, but you know what? I have the belief that I can get out of this space and I can get to my blue moment if I want to. Right. So thank you for taking us there.
I think people are well-intentioned when they say that. The only time I can see when that is applicable is like, how can you show your reality in that faking stage or not that fully actualized stage and still stay true? So for instance, when I was a photographer, I would only show the sessions that I actually wanted to attract, right? So it was, you know, the light and airy, beautiful photos of motherhood. Now, was I taking headshots of men in a corporate setting? Yeah, but am I gonna show that? No. So it's not so much that I had to show everything, I had to attract what I wanted to bring in. And so for anyone listening, it's just like, what is it? Even if, let's say you just do this, you have this one crazy, amazing client, but if you just revisited that and you kept showing and showing different pieces of it, or you're starting a podcast and maybe you don't have, you know, a huge library of episodes, but you can take little snippets of the same one and just like, you're in it, you're a podcaster, damn it. And you are, you know, in process and in flow, right? So I think there's a way to do it such that it gives you the allowance to say you're doing the thing that you want. And I do say that I want you to answer as though it's happened, you know, but I don't think you should, you know, like the whole thing about like renting out airplanes and taking Instagram photos, like, no, we're not doing that, you know? So
we're taking real vacations out here. We're really doing the damn thing. We're doing the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know every time I talk to someone about entrepreneurship, because now that we're in this business mindset, that's what I want to have in my field. I want to have more like-minded women. So they definitely tell me, oh, you don't want to do your 9-to-5? Well, welcome to the 24/7, because this is entrepreneurship. So what are some of the hard, because I feel like we always focus on like the fun part of entrepreneurship. Like, oh, you work on your own time, you make your own money, you bet on yourself, you're working for yourself. But what are those stemming, not so good parts of it? Because at the end of the day, it's not just rainbows and butterflies 24/7.
It's not. I think that the number of conversations one gets to have as an entrepreneurship is just to be patient. And just to know that, you know what, when I stand in my purpose, it is just a matter of time and people are watching, right? You may not get the engagement, like the likes and the shares and stuff, but if you look at your views and something, right, if we're talking about social and if we were measuring social on entrepreneurship, people are watching. So what does that mean? That means people that as an entrepreneur, I would expect that you should be ready to fail publicly. I would expect that you should feel ready to launch something and have zero people pay. I would expect for you to have people who aren't going to be excited about what you are offering, people who are going to want a refund, people who are not as jazzed about you as you think they are, and that is okay. I'd rather attract and repel all day than have people who are mediocre and who haven't really came to me for the reason to begin with, right? And so what that looks like is, I remember having one of my first events and I had one person sign up for it. But because of my zest and my spontaneity as an Enneagram 7, I already paid for the speaker to come over on that flight that I had to inherit, right? And luckily I got to not book the room, and I was able to work with that coaching client separately to inherit the fact that I wasn't going to put on this full production. So what does it look like? There's a lot of like, yeah, this is really hard. And you're right. If you're not with other people who are in that arena, as Brené Brown would say, like, I want to talk to people in the arena who are getting dirty, it is so hard. And so that is why just finding like-minded people is so important, because then they can be like, no, I'm feeling that too. Or like, yeah, I felt like I charged too much, and yeah, I'm going to charge more. Or I think, you know, I feel like crazy for putting this offer out, or whatnot, fill in the blank of whatever it is that you're promoting, because it's self-promotion all day long. And I think that if you're going to be a leader, entrepreneurship is going to be a really hard walk. right? You got to lead by what you feel guided to lead. So for the both of you, I know that this is something so important to you. And I see your call times like, whoa, 5, 6 a.m. You would not do that if it wasn't important for you. And that tells me that this is more than a passion. This is like, this is what the universe is telling you to show up as, right? And so for the 9 to 5 or however you want to call that, there is just room. You just get to put boundaries around that. So the 24/7, you can choose to do 24/7, or you can close your laptop and say that is enough for today. You can choose to be on social. You can choose to be on Netflix. You can choose to have Facebook on your phone, or you can take your Facebook off your phone and only log in when you can. You can choose to unfollow people that make you feel less than. You can choose to unfollow your competitors. You can choose to follow your competitors. It's really just where your mindset is in that season. And I think you really just get to pay attention to that. I always do a digital detox all the time. I look at who I follow and do they bring me joy? And if they don't, guess what? I'm not going to digitally consume that because that makes me who I am and where I put my energy, right? And so it takes a lot of, God, at the end of the day, self-awareness more than anything. So, yeah.
And even that digital cleaning, like I saw this post the other day and it talked about and what we're trying to create. We're trying to have a field of people that really want to plant their seed and really grow with mindset, spiritual, physical, all of that. And that's what we want. We want strong ass sunflowers out there making moves, making money, living their very best life. And if that means we have to delete some people from the strong sunflowers because they're just following us because I don't know, like what do you like? It really made me think. I'm in the shower thinking all these things.
The shower.
Why do you really follow us? You know, like what, why do you follow us? And if it's not to do all those things, then we're going to have to cut ties because you following us and not engaging, not participating or not being part of the field is kind of like the weeds that we don't need in the middle of the field. Like you got to go. You're taking our nutrition. You're taking our time. It's going to be a no for us.
I love it.
I will say something that maybe I don't feel great about saying, but a couple of weeks ago I was in my Facebook group and I felt exactly the same. I was like, you're ruining my algorithm, right? By you not engaging, not allowing me to go further. And I had to take a step back and I had to like course correct my mindset. And one thing that made me feel better about it is just like the truth of marketing really is sometimes we have to get in front of people 7 to 10 times before they metabolize a thing that we're saying, right? And so I just chose in that moment to be like, okay, I'm going to give an opportunity for them to join in. And for the people that I really want to have a conversation with, I do have a short list of people who I'm like, you know, sis, you fall. I know you were here before Avenue Mama is for what it is now, because I have a handful of people who have no thoughts of having a business, but they're just there. And I want to have that conversation to be like, I would love for you to either engage or just unsubscribe or just, you know, exit the group. And I'm going to have that conversation because I feel like it's worthwhile for them to be like, oh, if that's what you need. And sometimes we just get to ask, right? Like, hey, for the people who aren't watching, like just have a re-engagement campaign for your newsletter or your podcaster or your Facebook group. And I think that's okay. Sometimes people don't realize all we need is just a little bit, like just like this. So I know that I'm not wasting your time. And if you don't like it, you can absolutely exit. And I do that a lot with my newsletter. I'm like, if this is not vibing with you, like I practice what I preach. If I'm not your girl, by all means, there is somebody who is your girl. So please, you know, do ourselves a favor by really digitally consuming people that really lift us up. But there are people who are going to watch and they're not going to do a damn thing. And we get to either stand in our purpose and continue to give the message or invite them in a re-engagement campaign or an exit. And I think that's something that is an important, healthy thing to do.
You always say in the mastermind, like, remember to serve the one. And that always has stuck with me. I think when we first started, it was, oh, we got to get more followers. We got to do this. We need to get our, you know, our streams up. And it's like, you know what, right now in our little field that we just started barely a year ago, like, there's hundreds of people that are listening. And I think that, you know, something that really motivates me is when you say that phrase, like serve the run, serve the people that are showing up, that are crowding around you virtually. Because if you continue to show up consistently, that crowd could grow, right? You just have to continue to be consistent in order to see what bloom moments you arrive to.
100%. Imagine those hundreds of people in your room, at your house, at your door, like in a stadium. Like it's a lot, like 10 people at your with that attention at you, staring at you, waiting for you to say something. Like, why are we discounting a group of 10, a group of 20, you know? And I think that, you know, it's easy to just look outward and be like, look at my thing, versus going here and be like, hey, let's connect. Like the people who are already invested in you, you already have people who are already invested. So serve them well. And then it is just a matter of, again, patience and just serving and really listening to what it is that you can provide that they need from you.
And like you said before, authenticity, like really we practice what we preach. We are pretty raw and authentic, and we are the first one to tell you, I'm a hot mess right now. Like, let's talk about it. So I really like that, because these episodes don't only inspire other people, they inspire us, mm-hmm. you know? So at the end of the day, we are that one person. We are the first person that we are inspiring and rooting for and really striving to do better.
What a gift that is for you to have this podcast, to have these lessons for whoever jumps in on the conversation. And it's a scary conversation to really look at your own. Who wants to do that? You know, people rather stay in discomfort than be in discomfort to get into a new level of them. They would just rather do the same thing, in and out, have the same asshole boss, you know, all that, have the asshole career. They rather, because it's so much more threatening to like be a different person. And so I think the message is like, you have this one life. It's not a dress rehearsal. And people are always going to judge you no matter what. They're going to judge you for having the lunch you had, or the, what you're wearing, or the microphone that you have, or they're going to judge you anyway. So you might as well be in your zone of genius, be shouting from the rooftops what matters to you, and just attract and repel, because it just makes it easier. When people unsubscribe my newsletter, I used to look at who it was, but then I noticed that I'd have like little energy about it. So now I don't look to see, because you know, they're in other spaces. They might be from this group, but you know, when they unsubscribe, I'm like, because I also have to know, you know, I'm sensitive and I'm not ever that person. And I used to be the person that got to, I don't care what people think, which I don't. What I realized then, it was, that was pride and ego saying that, when the reality was, I do care what people think. I'm just not letting it distract me from doing what I need to do. Yeah, I care. It hurts. Every little unsubscribe, I'm like, oh, you know, what was it? Right. And I just stopped looking to see who it is for my own sanity. I'm just going to get distracted by it, because I'm not making everyone happy, and neither will you. And neither will you. Right. And that's just okay. When I have the people that I know that we are in flow together, like, it's okay. It's okay to niche. It's okay to just cultivate and nourish those that are the right people. Rather nourish a small pot of the right people than like this huge field of just like, mediocre. I don't know. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know what their names are. You know what I mean? So small is better.
What do you think your bloom moment was? Because hearing you talk, I feel like now I'm thinking, I'm like, has she always been a strong ass sunflower, or did she grow into the strong ass sunflower? Like, when then the strongness of sunflower came about? So I'm interested to understand, like, which one was your bloom moment? Because to me, even though besides business, I feel like your bloom moment, it's like the person you are today. You're just strong and you know yourself. And that's the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah. Well, I love therapy. For one, I love my therapist. Shout out to Karen. I've been with her for almost 20 years, which is kind of fun. I took years off here and there, but around the pandemic, we circled back. It took a long time. I actually don't even have a real moment, but I can just tell you, I chipped away with caring less about what people thought about what I was doing. As the youngest of seven, I don't have that full support of my siblings even. Actually, this was going to blow your mind. Two nights ago, my siblings don't even really know what I do. You know, some of my relatives still think I'm a pharmacist, you know, and that is crushing, right? Like, for them, I'm just like the kid sister who maybe is taking holiday photos right now. And I'm like, no, I'm out here changing generational pain. I'm out here like helping and serving and empowering. And it was so funny to say that just two nights ago. I'm like, you know, but I don't think I've had a moment, and I wish I can give you that answer. I think it took time to really just be like, this is what I'm doing now, and this is my purpose. And have I always been confident? I think I've always been extroverted. I think in college, like, did I get straight A's? No, I was on academic probation two times. Shout out to my boyfriend for keeping me distracted at that time. But, you know, I learned some hard lessons. And I finally, by the time I got to grad school, I had a brother, one of my brothers was this, gave me some really good life lessons. And he's like, do you walk into that room thinking you're the smartest person? And I was like, no. And he's like, you should. And he totally gave me this mindset shift. He's like, you have to believe, one of my brother Chris, he's like, you have to believe that. And I was like, okay. And I just started surrounding myself with smarter people. I started to, you know, get tutored by one of my friends in class who hated that he was so smart, and he tried to fit in with the cool guys, but he was intelligent like crazy. So I would study with him. And anyway, I would get straight A's in pharmacy school because I just decided that, like, why not me, right? Why not me? Why can't I have a 4.0? Why can't I go into a residency program? Why can't I be, you know, a manager at 20 something years old with Kaiser Permanente? I think confidence has been pretty much there. But I think the confidence in what I'm doing now is because I have the evidence of the women who I have been a part of their story, launch the thing, start the business, leave that crazy job, leave that marriage, just go to grad school. And I've had it and I've seen it. And I know that when I could just, like, again, if I can't be a part of it, not I cannot be a part of it, but if I get the opportunity to be in story and in partnership with these women, like, nothing else feels me much better than that. And so I think that adds to that confidence of, like, I know I can help her because I've helped another person before and I've helped hundreds of women by now. I think it's just that layering of just, like, having that evidence, like, oh, my coaching makes sense. She's taking action. She's not scared. She's doing it. She's getting organized. She's not apologetic. She's not going to let mom life get to her.
And it's evident you're harvesting throughout your whole story. I mean, even from the time you planted your seed, it was, I'm working for this nonprofit and I'm doing these pictures and doing these things. So I feel like serving other people has always been baked into your why. So what I'd like to know in this portion of the story is, how are you reinventing yourself? What's next for Annie Vovan?
Yeah, I think it's just really, you know, hopefully we are going to be all together by next year. I mean, there's a couple of families that, you know, I've just taken photos from the womb into, like, high school, right? But really just, I have a book in me. I have a children's book in me. I feel like, you know, just being on more podcasts to share my message, maybe on stages, I don't know. But I do, I have a kid's book in me about all around failure. And as I was saying, around 2018, I started into my personal development dive, doing the affirmations and gratitude and abundance and looking at how I can integrate that with my kids. Kids started doing affirmations at ages 2 and 4. And we do it every day to school. Like, I'm brave, I'm strong. And I've seen the ripple of that. I see my little kid on the balance beam saying, I could do hard things, you know. But what I want to do is really talk about failure, because the way I was raised was to, again, not rock the boat, right? My parents did not want me to do that first career path that I wanted to do, was social work and to be a fifth grade teacher. They're like, you have to be in medicine. And for all intents and purposes, I probably, you know, in ways feel like I failed them in their dream, and like, I'm not that pharmacist anymore. And I probably failed them in other ways. And I want to unpack what failure means. And I want kids to feel like you've got to fail early and fail often. So the book is called F is for Failure. And every character of the alphabet, every letter of the alphabet is, like, B is for bravery, C is for compassion, is a little lesson between parent and child to have a conversation back and forth. Like, how did you fail today? Oh, you know, I tried to do this oral presentation, it didn't do great. And I will share, how did I fail today? And I'd be like, oh, well, I thought I did this, but I didn't do that. And I just want to take that pressure off, especially Asian kids who feel like they only have a one-dimensional track. I really want to just make sure that people know that, like, it is okay to change and it's okay to move directions and it's okay to, like, reinvent yourself. So what's next for me is that children's book and then my own story about the prescription for designing a life you love. And since I have my doctorate, so by Dr. Annie Vovan. And so, yeah, those are the kind of things that I'm building next year. So the book is about 90% done. It's illustrated about 85% from my niece, who's super talented.
What would you tell your younger self that was trying to please her parents, that was trying to kind of fit in to what everybody else wanted for Annie? What would you tell her?
Yeah, so I'm going to steal this from Gary Vaynerchuk, and that is, I wish I would have rather had that hard conversation of quitting and putting a stake in the ground saying, I'm not going to pharmacy school, than having a 14-year career that I absolutely resented them for. Now, that being said, I was a victim to that for many, many years until I realized I could have just walked away. I could have, but I didn't, because I let my guilt take over for their happiness. So at the end of the day, it's really on me. But if I told my younger self, like, you don't want, and to be honest with you, I tried my first year in pharmacy school, called my dad and said, Dad, I don't want to do this. And he said, you're just going to get me into a heart attack. I mean, I already have a weak heart. Is that what? And he fucking guilted me into staying, right? And so not only did I finish the 4 years, I did another year, a fifth year, because I thought I could work in the hospital setting and get into ambulatory care, which would have been my ticket out. So I then like was a chameleon to like, how do I make this work? And I'm very pliable. And Zana, to your question, pharmacy was for them. Photography was for the nonprofit, right? If we're following the story out of necessity, but the coaching is for me. I would say, listen to that voice, have those tough conversations and stand up for what you really want to do. I want to cry.
Mic drop.
I'm like so moved. I'm like about to cry. Seriously, Annie, your story is incredible and you need to be on more podcasts. Please don't make, I think you've already been on a few, but make sure you get on more. I'm going to like post this episode everywhere. You need to be on a stage and I hope we're invited along with you. Let's just create a whole event for people to just be inspired and live their very best life. And I'm going to be the first one to buy your book. So let me know when it goes, live, when it launches. My babies need that story.
I need that prescription.
The prescription. Yes. I know. I kind of turned those negative things about that part of my life into something more. I just wish people don't feel like have that courage to just leave a really toxic job. Like, you're going to be fine. I wish I could say that. You're going to be fine. Like, you have so many skills and there's just.
And all I think about with that, I'm like, okay, pharmacy school is a lot of money. So I'm like, a lot of people don't leave because of that debt. You just went in over like 200K in debt and you're like, oh, I'm so miserable.
Yeah. And you know what? I just paid it off this year.
Oh my gosh.
20 years later. Is that not just gut wrenching? So I also was blinded by student loans and that whole business, right? And I always chip away and I didn't have the foresight to know that, you know, I should have done a thousand lessons for another episode, but I do feel like I was a victim of a system that preyed on professionals, right? And so, yeah, 20 years to pay it off. I don't recommend that to anyone. I would recommend people to really consolidate, look, pay off faster, and just not take your eyes off that dashboard. That's something that I failed at. I actually did not look at that very well.
I know you have to go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Seriously, we'll have to have another chapter of this.
Thank you so much, Synergy.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Have an amazing day, Annie.
Bye. Right, take care.
Ciao.
I hope you enjoyed that podcast. And once again, Zana, thank you so much. I have completely enjoyed watching you bloom inside our mastermind. And for those interested in working with me, you can always head to avenuemama.com/ignite. And there are multiple ways that you and I can work together and really just for you to just step into your power and create that business that you love. I would love for you to take a screenshot and tag at Avenue Mama so I can see who's listening and for you to have a wonderful, wonderful time celebrating all of you. Until next time, take care, Mama.